This is the place, and this is the time. Here and now, the mystery awaits to break into our experience, to change our minds, to change our lives, to change our ways, to help us see the world and the whole of life in a new light. This is the place. This is the time. Here and now, let us praise the mystery by joining together in song. At the center of our service and at the center of our lives, we take this time to light candles of memory, candles of hope, or because we feel troubled, blessed, conflicted, or simply because we'd like to add a little light to the world. If you will, in an attitude of prayer. Mystery of many names, mystery beyond all naming, we come to you this morning with the songs and melodies of one of your chosen people, Leonard Cohen. In that spirit, I pray today the lyrics of one of his poems. Don't really have the courage to stand where I must stand. Don't really have the temperament to lend a helping hand. Don't really know who sent me to raise my voice and say, may the lights in the land of plenty shine on the truth someday. I don't know why I come here, knowing as I do what you really think of me, what I really think of you. For the millions in the prison that wealth has set apart, for the Christ who has not risen from the caverns of the heart, for the innermost decision that we cannot but obey, for what's left of our religion, I lift my voice and pray, may the lights in the land of plenty shine on the truth someday. We pray this in the name of everything that is holy, and that is precisely everything. Amen.
I didn't get included in the order of service, but I wiggled my way into this, so I'm here anyway. We had a program here for some time that hasn't been going on, but it's the Worship Associates program, and Worship Associates offered an affirmation of faith, and that's what I want to do this morning by talking about Leonard Cohen a little bit and what his music has meant to my life. To attempt saying what Leonard Cohen's music has meant to me, the ways it has informed my life, given fresh views on old problems that seem to be an inescapable part of life, given consolation in times of trouble and reined me in heady times, is not an easy thing to do. 12 or so years ago, a friend of mine asked me if I would make him a tape of my favorite Leonard Cohen songs, and I took the challenge. But as I was finishing up the third 90-minute tape, I figured out that I'd been sent on a fool's errand. All of Leonard Cohen's songs are my favorites, and all I was doing was sorting them according to favorite melodies or lyrics or subject matter. I turned 50 in March of this year, and on my birthday I received a card from my parents. On the cover it said, to the greatest son on the planet. And on the inside it said, even though we do wonder what planet that is. I suspect that they began to wonder about that when I was very young. Among other things, I'm fairly certain that in 1966, I was the only 9-year-old listening to Leonard Cohen, at least the only 9-year-old in Athens, Alabama. His voice was quirky and his lyrics were not typical of popular music, not what a professor of mine used to call pre-digested music. When I listened to Leonard Cohen's songs from 1966 with my adult mind, it's hard to imagine how my boyish mind responded to them. Because even though I was a precocious youth, I was not precocious enough to get the full measure of his writing. For 40 years, I listened to the music of Leonard Cohen without really knowing much about him. I wondered, but I can't help but wonder whether I was afraid to know too much about him, afraid that I would be disappointed by his mere humanity. A documentary on his life and his music came out last year. Watching it produced many reactions in me, but disappointment was not one of them. I'd have to say that hearing the man speak about his life, his thoughts, and his approach to songwriting after 40 years of listening to his songs actually informed, or maybe I should say reinforced, my theology. It seems unlikely to me that an omniscient and omnipotent God would have to make so many millions of us to come up with one Leonard Cohen. I'd like to share a couple of quotes from that documentary, and I think these are actually in your order of service. But these express some of the views that I've received from Leonard Cohen over the years. In the documentary, he's describing the idea behind the song, The Traitor. And he says, it's about the feeling that you've betrayed some mission that you were mandated to fulfill and weren't able to. Then you somehow understand that the mandate wasn't to fulfill the mission, but to stand guiltless in the predicament you found yourself in. I think we've all been there at one time or another. We've all gone through some experience where our honest efforts have been in vain. Often there are others who are more than happy to help us load up with guilt because of our failure. Leonard Cohen's music and poetry has, I think, helped me to respond to my many failings without destructive self-incrimination. I still feel disappointment. I still wish it had been otherwise, but I don't load myself up with burdens of guilt that aren't mine to carry. Better than unloading is not loading up in the first place. Here's a quote that, if you'll chew on it long and slowly and take it deep within your psyche, it will repay you for the time you spent here this morning, even if nothing else does. Life is easier when you no longer see yourself as the hero of your own drama, expecting victory after victory, and understand deeply that this is not paradise. Somehow we, especially we privileged ones, we somehow embrace the notion that this veil of tears is perfectible. I found life easier when I no longer expected to win all the time. Life isn't perfect. It's full of trials and tribulations, and not a single one of us is immune from them. But guess what? Life is still wonderful. I've said before from this pulpit, and I'll say it again, life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be experienced. For all these years, my mind has returned over and over again to the words of Leonard Cohen. I want to share one example with you. I recently read a wonderful book titled Art and Physics by Leonard Schlain. At one point in the book, he's getting pretty heavy into a discussion of the properties of light, and it reminded me of how fascinated I was as a child by sitting in front of the window and watching dust particles dance in the beams of light that came through the window. I would sit in the warmth of those sunbeams and watch the dust dancing about. I was totally mesmerized. Those thoughts took me to a Leonard Cohen song titled Love Itself. Here it is. The light came through the window straight from the sun above, and so inside my little room there plunged the rays of love. In streams of light I clearly saw the dust you seldom see, out of which the nameless makes a name for one like me. I'll try to say a little more. Love went on and on until it reached an open door. Then love itself was gone. All busy in the sunlight, the flecks did float and dance, and I was tumbled up with them in formless circumstance. Then I came back from where I'd been, my room, it looked the same, but there was nothing left between the nameless and the name. These are wonderful words from Leonard Cohen, and I encourage all of you to hear more of them every opportunity you get. Thanks.
That's how the light gets in. In traditional Christianity, sin is seen as a detriment, a flaw, a fly in the ointment. My now deceased second father-in-law, Linus Hernandez, used to say, "Everybody likes Liz Taylor's hair, but nobody wants it in their soup." Talking about sin as a detriment is counterproductive. There's a better way. In Alcoholics Anonymous, of which I'm a proud anonymous member, it's common to hear people say that they don't regret or want to take back any drink or drinking that they did. The idea is simple. Whatever they did, however much they drank, the wreckage of the lives that trails behind them, none of this can be regretted for two reasons. First, the guilt itself would kill us or drive us to drink. Pour me, pour me, pour me another drink. And secondly, if that drinking got us to AA and we're sober and the promises are coming true, then baby, that's all the suffering that it took. Think of it as a trip in your family car. Yeah, okay, the radiator hose blew the third day. You had 2 flat tires the next day, and eventually the water pump went out. Regardless, you're at your vacation spot thanks to the old soccer mom car. It's hard to hate what's brought you to a state of grace. It's hard to hate what's brought you to a state of grace. There's a tradition in some synagogues when members of the synagogue are invited to stand and tell a bad story on themselves. After the first story ends, another person stands up and tells a worse story, and then another worser story, if there's such a word. The idea is the parishioner with the worst story on themselves wins. The prize isn't shame. The prize is solidarity. When the last confessor stands and tops all the other stories, then there's a moment of silence. And in that silence, there is a bonding. The human, oh-so-human sigh of relief as all in that community know that they are blemished, imperfect. The high moral ground has been relinquished, and in the words of 2 Isaiah, the high has been made low and the crooked made straight. Martin Marty, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago, tells the story of one of his grandchildren when Marty stepped down from the university. He turned to Martin Marty and said, "Grandpa, now that you're retarded..." At first, Marty winced because retardation is never a subject for jest, but then the doctor remembered that to be retarded also means to be caused or moved to proceed slowly, delayed, or impeded. And that's not always a bad thing, especially in the world of music. What would music be like if there were no variance in tempo, besides sounding like Philip Glass? There is a form of enlightenment within Zen Buddhism that's called a life of one continuous mistake. How can this be, you might ask? Being conscious of who we are and what we're capable of, knowing that our feet aren't on a pedestal but made of clay like everybody else's, these are the things that actually raise all of life up. When I was 18, I fell in love with a blonde tennis player at the University of Florida. She played for the Gators. Joan and I were deeply in love. I've changed her name to protect her innocence. I drove up to see her during summer school and convinced her that we needed to drive into the woods in my father's Mercury Monterey with a 357 engine and 4 on the floor to do watercolors of the woods. She either bought that idea or wanted exactly what I wanted. We watercolored for a bit. We did. Then we fell asleep, like the children we were. An hour or so later, lightning awaked us. The rain was coming down so hard we couldn't see out of the car. I thought it might be time for me to move my dad's car. I'd driven off the farm maintenance road and into the woods, where the trees were prettier, you understand. Twilight had slipped upon us, too. When I found what I thought was the farm maintenance road, it was covered in water. I turned onto the road and was shocked to discover that I had just driven into a stream. The Mercury Monterey sank down to the axles, and it looked as if it kept raining, the water would soon be at window height. I got Joan out of the car, but she left her shoes behind. I took off my brogans and insisted she walk in them. I went barefoot. We walked through many a tilled field before we caught sight of the lights of the interstate. By the way, those brogans had rubbed terrible blisters on her feet, and my feet were unscathed from walking through the fields. I thumbed down a semi and worried that this old truck driver would want to try something with my beautiful Joan, so I jumped in first and sat right beside him. He looked at me strangely, but he was a very nice black man and drove us into town without asking many questions. My Beta Theta Pi fraternity brothers pulled my car, my father's car, out of the river the next day. The point is, what was an awful experience is now emblazoned in my memory, and quite frankly, that experience was better than sex. Reynolds Price, who teaches writing at the University of North Carolina, developed cancer on his spine. It crippled him. 2 things are important about his story. First, the disease and the loss of the use of his legs have actually improved his writing. And the second reason is striking. Price is in pain all the time. But he says that he's made of his pain a bonfire, and slowly over the years he's been able to move away from the heat of the fire. He can still see the flames licking into the night, but now, instead of burning in pain, he's able to look at himself and his light life in the light of that same fire. We'll never put out the flames of our critical thinking. Judge not, lest ye be judged. What does that mean? The judging will always be there. We're human beings. We are suspicious creatures. So if it's not going away and it's unpleasant to be around, perhaps we should take a walk, expand our horizons. Yes, the jabbering, the crazy monkey mind, as the Buddhists call it, will keep on jabbering. But maybe if we get far enough away, the rhythm of the unceasing chatter will become a white noise that doesn't hook us, doesn't drive us, doesn't work. The things you've done wrong, find someone who loves you and unload, unburden, release yourself from the bondage of self, uncover the cracks that line you like a raccoon pot, open yourself to the idea that reaching out may, in fact, be letting in. Buckminster Fuller said once that today's society is too specialized. We have a tendency we want to focus our energies, put the heat on where we think the heat needs to be applied, to push forward in the direction we intend. Fuller suggests otherwise. Instead, we should take our light and defocus, place it in the middle of a field, and let that light shine out in all 365 degrees of the circle, and wait to see who's attracted to that light. Yes, there's a crack in everything. Yes, that's how the light gets in, but it's also how the light gets out. Let's drop our guard. Let's shine out to those who walk among us. Perhaps if we all shine together, the path of a common life will be uncovered.